It was only a matter of time until he pushed my buttons. I let the workshop door bang loudly behind me. Between us lay a stretch of workbenches, littered with all manner of gadget and gizmo. None of the other inventors who shared the space were there, not at this hour. And Reginald, infuriating as ever, raised his head with a languid blink. The blink of a man who knew himself to be not only clever, but unfairly dashing. "Everything all right, Farthing?" "Seems to be," I told him, shaking my umbrella dry with an irritation that matched my tone. "Or rather, must have been." "Have you been at the pub?" "I'm sober as a judge," I said, feigning a smile. "Especially upon hearing that you had a rather lengthy discussion with Mr. Bradley at the supper club yesterday." Butter wouldn't melt in Reginald's mouth as he smiled. "Ah, so I did. A pleasant chap." Such ease of carriage. Oh, he maddened me. "To whom you spent a great deal of time insisting that your invention is the most clever seen in centuries." I carried on, sticking to my cause even as my heart began to speed. "And you don't see anything wrong with this?"
"No,"
Reginald responded, finally setting down his soldering tool. He leaned back on his workbench stool, pushing his glasses from his nose and into his dark but greying hair.
"Should I?"
I could have thrown my umbrella like a spear directly into his face. Instead, I simply threw my hands into the air. No, of course not. He's only one of the judges in the very competition we're entering against each other. In an inventor's guild, tensions ran high and timelines ran fast. Explosions were a matter of literal fact and also, interpersonally, inevitable. Just as steam systems built without faulty valves sometimes burst, sometimes the valves of communication in this overheated place got stuck. And this one wasn't budging. "We aren't supposed to speak to them before the competition," I said, spelling it out for stupid, handsome Reginald as simply as I could.
"A matter of circumstance."
Smug Reginald. Smarmy Reginald. Smirking Reginald. With his wiry but strong arms folded over his chest, and the penetrating gaze that often felt as if he saw right through my clothing and... Look, sometimes release valves take a very curious shape. "You must not feel very confident about your invention," I told him, approaching him slowly, my fingers trailing the edge of his bench. "So, I propose..."
"A challenge?"
"Yes."
"Both our inventions?"
"Yes."
I gripped the table. "On each other?"
It was a question, perhaps an invitation in a strange way. I could feel myself sink into my heels, though my head felt light as air. "Yes," I said, mustering the firmest and most matter-of-fact voice I could. "I think that would be best, you know, to fairly gauge the competition." His smile wouldn't melt butter, no, but it certainly melted me.
"On the table, Farthing, age before beauty."
We didn't even kiss as I passed him. Just a brush of lips so near that only paper could pass between. I hiked up my walking skirts, climbed onto his bench and met his gaze when my skirts flipped up over my waist. I was ready before I'd even walked in, intent on trying out his invention whether or not he was there. But his skilled hands glided down my back to push me to all fours with the same confidence that he built the very device then nestled against my most private of areas. It was like a human member on the end of a piston. I was envious that I hadn't thought of it first. I could feel the desire in the heat of his touch, running over the curve of my backside. I could feel his curiosity in the way he gave one of my garter straps a tug before he reached to turn on his remarkable invention. 'Tis one thing to be partnered with a talented, insufferable man like Reginald. 'Tis another to have him use a machine like this as a substitute for having me. But when he started it, there was no slowing down. I rocked forward in time with the machine, my buxom bosom straining against the bodice of my dress. I could not control my gasps and my groans. I could not control the effect that the device had on me, especially when Reginald began to raise the speed of it. He ran his hand beneath me, grasping my heaving chest as the machine moved. A human touch, yes, but almost analytical, as if I was simply providing new results for him. I was breathless. And he was right, I thought, as already fireworks began to burst joyously at the edge of my vision. I clung to Reginald's oil-stained bench with desperation. He was right. Knowing the old man's taste, Mr. Bradley would have been very keen on this invention indeed. And as was I, when in very short order, I felt a tremor take me that left me gasping, laughing, and trembling all at once. Reginald's rippling laughter only drew out the waves of pleasure crashing through me. The scent of the gear grease from the device's motor made me shiver. The release valve between he and I gave way to emit a heat that both of us had spent too long denying. But a challenge is indeed a challenge, and through the happy afterglow, I again found my determination. He would bend over for me the same way as I bent for him. But it would not be steam that powered the thrusts. After all, there's no better form of energy than manpower, is there? Except, in this case, it would be woman power. And they say there's no such thing as friendly competition.